And turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, a fearful passage for many people, but as all passages of Holy Scripture are, extremely important. Jesus continues, and here's where Jesus goes right after he taught the golden rule. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's Jesus's way. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Sadly, we have a world where people think if the majority is doing it, is right, and people follow the crowd with silly mindedness, when oftentimes the crowd is wrong, the majority is wrong. It was the crowd, it was the mob, which we've heard quite a bit about this past week. It was the crowd, it was the mob that killed Jesus. Because straight is the gate, Jesus said, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The broad way is the way of adulterers and adulteresses. The broad way, polymory, polygamy, swinging. The broad way, homosexuality, homosexuals on the broad way with their gay flags. There's a whole lot of room on the broad way for all kinds of folk. By the way, a whole lot of Americans are on the Broadway. Very few are on the straight and narrow. If you are so-called gay, you're not straight. And so we know that you're not on the straight and narrow road. Need more Christians to realize that they cannot have one foot on the broad way and one foot on the straight and narrow way. Amen, somebody. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few. Notice that even Jesus said few. There be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Don't many of our Catholic priests who call themselves fathers look very humble and very peaceful and loving and willing to help? And not only them, but Protestants as well. These preachers look so sweet and so kind and so loving. The way they talk very slowly, and they hold their hands together like this, and they look at you, "How may I help you, my brother and my sister?" But at the same time, in the choir box, they're raping young boys and raping young girls. One man was so violently raped that he had spinal damage. He just died of an overdose. And one of the ones that was abused by a demonic priest, one of these false prophets here, said that it never leaves you. It never leaves you. And that's why you parents need to question your children and get the truth while they're young, because it never leaves their lives. And that's why we have this explosion of confession, repentance, and craziness, and sadness, and crying in fetal positions after 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years. People are telling the truth on how they were raped by a so-called father, a false prophet, a false priest. Let me repeat, there is no hope in the Pope, and there is no peace in the priests. I know you want it to be, I know you want to believe these devils, but just today another one had to resign. The Pope had to sit him down. He was, interestingly, the cardinal for the Washington, D.C. area, leader of leaders, highly respected by the world, but nothing but a false prophet. And he is without a job tonight, thank God. Beware of false prophets, my friends, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They literally wear white robes, looking like little skinny sheep dressed in white. They come in sheep's clothing, looking very holy. And by the way, that's what many people get caught up in, the ceremony and the rituals of the church, of the Catholic Church and other churches, with the beautiful golden trimmed robes of white. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, and that's what God looks at, inwardly, they are ravening wolves, trying to damn your soul to hell, because they know that their soul is damned to hell. Whenever you listen to me very carefully, whenever you rape children in the church, you can rest assured you're going to hell. And quite honestly, people who do that, excuse me, I live in Texas, they need to be shot so we can hurry up and get them on to hell where they're going. And I thank God that I'm not in the Catholic Church, because if any one of those devilish false prophets touch one of my children, I will help him get on to hell quickly. You say, preacher, you ought not to say that. Maybe I shouldn't, but thank God I'm not a Catholic. Be that as it may, ye shall know them by their fruits. And do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You must understand, the Christian life, my beloved, is not some pumped up, perfunctory thing that you can dress up and fix up. It doesn't work that way. It's got to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he does it. I cannot explain it, but that's how it is. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Wherefore Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. If a priest or a preacher is accused of raping children, and it is found to be true, well, there you go. You know that you're in the wrong church. You're with the wrong group. By their fruits. By their fruits. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, and these have got to be the most frightening words in the New Testament for many people, many religious people, church-going people, people who take communion, people who know the lingo. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus steps on the gas and says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. It is very sobering, very serious, and very meaningful and very powerful. Help us to take heed to it tonight and have your Holy Spirit to open our eyes and help us to see what your holy word is saying to us. And Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, our souls, our spirits. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts from this time. Lord, around your holy word, we pray that you would open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears, and save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and Lord, glorify your holy name, lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that every lost soul under the sound of my voice would come to know your Savior. And every Christian who is backslidden would come back to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, this passage comes right after the passage that deals with Jesus encouraging us to pray, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, and Jesus teaching us the golden rule. Do unto others as we would like others to do unto us. And then he launches into one of the most frightening passages of Scripture in the New Testament. For in this passage, Jesus is saying very clearly, you can be very religious, but lost and on your way to hell. J.C. Ryle, a great preacher of the past, said, we may well tremble and be afraid if our faith is that of the multitude. if we can say no more than this, that we go where others go and worship where others worship, and hope we shall do as well as others at last. We are literally pronouncing our own condemnation. What is this but being in the broad way? What is this but being in the road whose end is destruction? If so, our faith at present is not saving faith. We have no reason to be discouraged and cast down if the faith we profess is not popular and few agree with us. We must remember the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this passage: the gate is narrow. And with that, my beloved, I want to, by the grace of God, commence another mini series simply titled, Will the Real Christians Please Stand Up? Will the Real Christians Please Stand Up? By way of introduction and setup, Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck, editors of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, said regarding this passage, elaborating on the golden rule, Jesus presented the clear way of access into righteousness. The righteousness he demanded does not come through the wide gate and the broad way. Rather, it comes through the small gate and the narrow way. In light of the whole sermon that Jesus is preaching, it was obvious Jesus was comparing the wide gate and the broad road to the outward righteousness of the Pharisees. You have to always put the passage in context. And if you're not careful, you may get caught up with the man-made chapter headings and lose your way. And so they continue, if those listening to Jesus followed the Pharisees' teachings, their path would lead to destruction. And by the way, we have some Pharisees among us today. They look good. They wear expensive suits. They wear white robes with gold trim. They drive nice cars. They look like they know the way. But they're on the broad way themselves, on their way to hell. Religious, but lost. In the church, but on their way to hell. You will know them by their fruits. Everybody singing about heaven ain't going. That's real talk, as the young people say. The narrow gate and road referred to Jesus' teaching, his way, which emphasized not external requirements, but internal transformation. Even the Lord Jesus acknowledged that few people would find the true way. Jesus stated that. The way that leads to life or to heaven, in contrast with destruction, ruin, in hell. After presenting the true way of access into his anticipated kingdom, Jesus gave a warning about false prophets. He referred to these advocates of the broad way as ferocious wolves who appear harmless as sheep. How can one determine the character of false teachers? He need only look at the fruit they produce. Grapes and figs do not grow on thorn bushes or thistles. Good fruit trees produce good fruit, but bad fruit trees produce bad fruit. In Jesus' evaluation, the Pharisees were obviously producing bad fruit. The only thing to do with bad trees is to cut them down and destroy them. They're no good. If they do not fulfill their purpose for existence, they should be removed. Those hearing this sermon must have wondered about the religious leaders who seemed, watch this, to be good men. How often people get deceived because a man looks the part. He's a good man. President George Bush said he looked into the eyes of Vladimir Putin and saw his soul. And concluded that he was a good man that we could work with. And everybody else has concluded since then that he is not a good man. And don't be deceived. Those hearing this sermon must have wondered about the religious leaders who seemed to be good men. How many times have we been shocked in the past month about men who we thought were good men? Politicians, judges, preachers. Just this year alone, movie producers. We can name probably over 500 people who we thought were good men and found out they were not. But back to the religious realm, teaching spiritual truths about God and His kingdom. Jesus made it clear they were not good, for they were leading others astray. Even if they were doing supernatural deeds and miracles, as they would call them, prophesying in His name, driving out demons and performing many miracles, they were not obedient to the Father, continually doing His will, faithful. Again, being a true witness for the Lord and a true servant of the Lord is not something that is perfunctory or mechanical, that you gotta pump it up. Yes, you have to make decisions and choices to do the right thing, but God will help you and He will do the work in you and through you. And you will give Him the glory if you are truly born again, and you will not take any of it. They would be refused admission to the kingdom because Jesus had no personal relationship with them, for He said, "I never knew you." So, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps in our new politically correct society, you've heard the term speak your truth. Speak your truth. This is so, every time I hear this, it makes me want to vomit. This is my truth, is what they say. How demonic. How foolish. And other such pretentious arrogant phrasing being used more often today. My truth. Speak your truth. You have a truth. I have a truth. Everybody in the mama has a truth. Are you kidding me? No, no, no. Truth is truth. Will the real Christians please stand up? The embrace of such indefinite and non-committal terms is a byproduct of our culture's rejection of absolute truth. We live in a post-modern world, and people do not believe today in absolute truth. They believe in their own truth, which is nothing but a lie and foolishness and does not work in real life. It is no longer acceptable, beloved, to speak of the truth without acknowledging that someone else who has had a different experience has a right to claim that their truth is the truth for them. And they'll even say to you, this may not be truth for you, but it's truth for me. Talking so stupidly. It's comical. While a hesitance to state things in binary terms is in vogue today, Jesus possessed no such inclination. And by the way, most symposiums and most conferences and most get-togethers, because of this asinine mentality about truth, is meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. It's a waste of time. We have millions of people who want to just dialogue about things and just talk about things, and what happens in the end? No solution. You know why there's no solution? Because I have a solution, you have a solution, everybody has a solution, because we all have our own truth. And so therefore, we cannot come to a solution because we cannot agree on what is truth. It is so sad. And by the way, the little conferences and powwows that come on the popular news shows, CNN and even Fox News and ABC and NBC and all the rest, is a colossal waste of time. They talk about stuff in a circular way. Nobody comes up with a solution, and they think they have done something. Just hearing everybody's truth, which is basically everybody's lie. People walk away thinking that they spent a whole hour powwowing, hollering at one another, calling people a Negro, talking about people and fussing at people and shouting at people and calling certain ones token Negroes and minstrel show and all this kind of foolishness, and then we have a host who gets angry and tells people to shut up. And at the end of an entire hour, they have not gotten anywhere. In fact, they have gone backwards. That's it. And they come back the next night and do the same thing. It's disgusting. You know why? Because everybody has their truth. And they're going to get their truth out. They may have 5 people, 7 people, 8 people on the panel. Everybody's going to speak their truth. And it's nothing but a fight and foolishness. So much of the news and much of the discussions and panels today is just a waste of time, because nobody believes in absolute truth. Pilate asks, what is truth? And apparently that question still remains. He routinely stated things in terms of truth and falsehood. That is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Darkness and light. Death and life. Charles McKinney used to say, up or down, in or out, sink or swim, black and white, mildew or barbecue, make up your mind what you're going to do. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, what we have in this passage. Absolute truth, straightforward. Will the real Christians please stand up? In verses 13 and 14, Jesus speaks of two gates and two paths which lead to two very different destinations. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, since there are false prophets in the world, we must be careful of deception. But the greatest danger is self-deception. Dr. Warren Wiersbe made it very clear. The scribes and Pharisees had fooled themselves into believing that they were righteous and others were sinful. It is possible, and that's what we're talking about tonight, for people to know the right language, you know, churchy language. Praise the Lord, PTL, hallelujah, glory be to God. I'm the head and not the tail. And on, we know it. And people can believe intellectually the right doctrines, obey the right rules, and still not be saved, still not be born again. Jesus used the two pictures to help us judge ourselves and others. The two ways are, of course, the way to heaven and the way to hell. The broad way is the easy way. It is the popular way. It's the way that has the most people on it. It's the way that so many young people get deceived thereby, because they see the crowd. Oh, I want to go with them. It is so sad how gullible so-called young Christians are today. And many old Christians are so gullible, so easily deceived, thinking that the majority is right and the majority is always wrong, always. When it comes down to spiritual matters, at least. But we must not judge a spiritual profession by statistics. The majority is not always right. The fact that everybody does it is no proof that what they are doing is right. Quite the contrary is true. God's people have always been a remnant. God's people have always been a remnant. God's people have always been a remnant. A small minority in this world. And you might as well get used to it. In fact, one of the biggest problems in the church today is we're trying to be popular, and Jesus has never been popular. The Bible is not popular. We've got Christians trying to fit in so badly they'll compromise the Word of God. They'll turn their back on Jesus and they'll turn their back on the Word of God. One preacher wants to compromise so bad, he says, unhitch us Christians from the Old Testament. That's just like saying, unhitch my torso from the bottom of my body. That's insane. You need the foundation of the body, the legs holding the rest of the body up. Man, the reason is not difficult to discover. The way of life is narrow, lonely, and costly. We can walk on the broad way and keep our baggage of sin, our adultery, our fornication, our lying, living a life of lies. Lying is a language. It's a foreign language, but it's a language for many people in the world today. They live in their lies. They live in a world of lies that they have constructed with their lying tongue. They have told so many lies and have hooked those lies together so well that they believe the lies themselves and will get mad at you and want to fight if you don't believe their lie. See, this is why God never wanted us to lie in the first place, because it would take on this kind of life of his own. And then there are some people who have lied so much they can't even remember when they started the lie. Baggage of lies, baggage of lust. Men who look educated and intelligent and dressed in fine suits are addicted to pornography today. So much so, aged men who you would think, if you were walking down the street, you would never think he would be doing that and thinking the way he's thinking, looking at child pornography, desiring little children, grown men. ...30, 40, 50, 60 years old, 70 years old... You don't believe me? A hurricane just hit, one of the most powerful hurricanes, some called it something similar to a bomb, down on the Florida coast. And there's a man, he has to be 55 to 65 years old, in jail tonight, trying to molest and rape a child of 9 years old or something like that at one of the shelters. Just yesterday, a man was walking in the store. A mother was walking with her daughter, and the man is so sick in the head, filled with scenes of pornography, which is not real sex, walking around with his pants off of his tail and playing with his private parts in the store, trying to get the girl's attention. The mother thankfully turned around and had to call the police. We're living in a sick world that's on the Broadway. See, that's what's on the Broadway. You need to get off of the Broadway, and you need to get your children off the Broadway, because that's what you're dealing with. People who have lost their minds. Baggage of sin and worldliness. But if we enter the narrow way, we must give up those things. We must give up that baggage. The baggage of sin and lust and worldliness and wickedness. So here then is the first test. And this is such a powerful point. These next two points are so powerful. I'm going to save it for tomorrow because I'm going to spend some time here. And so the Lord is leading me to close this sermon down. You have gotten a whole lot by way of laying the foundation for this mini-series, inner series, preaching through the book of Matthew, all about Jesus. Now, dear friend, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, tonight is your night. You are probably on the broad road on the way to hell. Jesus wants you to get on the narrow road. So if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me, dear friend, to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, so that you can get on the narrow road with Him. The straight and narrow road is the way to go, and it is the place to be. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned. We all have come short of God's glory. We all have failed. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sin. We die spiritually because of our sin. Our body goes to the grave in the ground. When was the last time you've been to a graveyard? When was the last time you have been to a funeral? People are dying each and every day, and we all die because of our sin. The body goes into the grave. The soul goes into hell to spend eternity. If you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that's where you will go. And hell is a sad place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place, and hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that He suffered and He bled and He died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again from the dead. And pray and ask Him to save your soul, and I assure you from the Word of God that He will save you. If God can save me, He can save you. And here's God's promise on it. He says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. And saved to heaven. So, dear friend, if you are believing in your heart tonight on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for you, was buried, and rose again, I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. And just like God saved me, He can save you. It makes no difference whether you're black or white or red or yellow, rich or poor, beautiful or not that beautiful. You're beautiful to God. Your soul is beautiful to God, so much so that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. Makes no difference who you are. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues or run around the church or any of the stuff you see on TV. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you will be saved. Repeat after me in prayer and mean it from your heart. Phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in my life and in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen before. I have taken your holy name in vain before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things before. I've dishonored my parents at times. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. For I have committed many more. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for my sins as the sacrificial lamb to take away the sins of the world, including mine. That He was buried and rose again from the dead and is sitting at your right hand. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Thank you for this free gift of salvation, and I receive it today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for His sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe that He died on the cross for your sin, was buried and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Have Entered Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, and if the Lord tarries His coming, that will be tomorrow, if He will allow us all to live. Dear friend, until then, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.